Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, third week of the finals, 2023. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is calling for massive change at the AFL. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. Yes, I join you. A disappointed but slightly happy Carlton supporter after the year that we've had. But and this, mate, I was going to say this all year, and it's coincidental that it comes out of the back of the preliminary finals.
Ah,
but
yep.
I want to say, I think our great game goes a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. I think that the game should probably be reduced, and not even to the point where it was in COVID times when it was 20-minute quarters. I think it should just be one quarter. Oh. I think it's probably for the best. You go there, you get your 25 minutes of footy, and fucking hell, you go home happy, Michael. And it's just, I mean, you're going to try and call me out on this, but it's coincidence that Carlton happened to be four goals up at quarter time in the prelim.
I
wasn't even thinking about that when I wanted to make this change. I think it should just be across all games.
Okay, so you've been strong on it for a while now.
Years.
Yeah, gotcha.
Years.
It's very funny that you've taken the 10th year of our podcast to bring it up, nearly 400 episodes, and now you begin to think that we should only play 25 minutes of football.
I mean, it was a scintillating 25 minutes of football. Let's not pretend it was anything but that.
It was fucking beautiful, wasn't it? Fucking beautiful.
Yes, it was beautiful. The first quarter of the preliminary final at the Gabba was beautiful football. Yes, it was.
Okay.
It really was.
So we'll get into it. So this is going to be a heavy, heavy Adam story time on this podcast episode. So as of last week, you were saying that you weren't going to go, and that was mainly because of the flight costs?
Yes, that is 100% correct. So I was just a bit like, I just can't justify it. You know, I love the club, but also I just had that feeling that if it's on a loss, it's a long way back.
Because I actually think, I forgot to text it, but I think I looked up on about Tuesday on Webjet, and the flights weren't ridiculous if you wanted to do a few annoying bits, like get a very early one or maybe hang around to the Monday to come home. There were a lot of $800 tickets.
Yeah.
So then what prompted the change? Did you rob an old lady in the street or something? Or,
well, I did that anyway, but Dave Hughes, friend of the show, ended up, he couldn't go. He had a family matter. And he rang me on the Friday and said, mate, I've got two tickets. I can't use them. Do you want to go?
Oh, that's a shame, because I remember I saw an article, I think, during the week, and him and his son Rafferty were going to be heading up.
They were.
Yeah, gotcha.
They were.
So you got his tickets. Did you get his flights? Were they transferable? Or?
Yeah, so that was the thing. I had to ring up. So instantly I was like, fuck, okay, this is a whirlwind thing. He rang me Friday morning. The flights were for Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
We're flying up at 1 o'clock. And so I was like, okay, I can reshuffle everything. First you got to go, can I do it? I've got to rework my weekend. Do I have any gigs? Do I have anything to cancel?
I find that when I'm all of a sudden given footy tickets and flights by Dave Hughes, I kind of go, okay, what's the process now?
So my first question I said to him, I was like, mate, can you transfer the tickets? Because, you know, Dave Hughes is a very recognisable name on a boarding pass.
Yeah, sure. My first question would be, are they up the front?
They were not.
Oh.
He's a man of the people, Hughesy.
Fucking hell, economy.
I know.
Hughesy, come on,
I know.
Mate.
I was a bit annoyed with that. I was like, mate, if you're going to give me tickets, at least fucking give me business class.
Yeah, have you got a few vacancies in the block of flats you own, mate?
So he said, I guess you can transfer the tickets. So it ended up I had to call Virgin, and I pretended to be Hughesy.
Great.
So I was on there straight away just going, I've got a bag of snakes alive in front of me. They're all dead, you know.
Right.
But turns out it didn't need to. It was just a call centre. They didn't know who the fuck Dave Hughes was.
Yeah, sure. Well, that would have annoyed Hughesy even more.
Yes, I think it would have. And so they said, yep, we can transfer the tickets into the these names. It was great. So I was on the call, and I actually was pretending to be Husey because it was just easier and simpler to just go, yeah, I'm changing the tickets to a friend. And then they're like, oh, we just sent you the updated itinerary to your email. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm on a different phone. I'll just get my wife to look at the other phone, which I've left at home, which is just like fucking the biggest thing. And then I'm texting Husey while I'm on the computer going, mate, can you check your email and fucking get back to me to let me know that they've updated the itinerary? Because the woman would have been going, how are you not able to check your own email?
Yeah, sure. And why do you have a burner phone?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they changed it. Got on the drove out to Tullamarine, of course, as if you follow the Junk Time Instagram account. Immediately headed to the AFL kitchen and bar.
Yep, great.
Noticed a couple of things in there. So I'd never been there before.
I was going to say, that your first time there?
It was. Oh, it is. I can see why it's the mecca that it is and people go to.
How has it taken you that long to get there? Like, you've surely done flights through Melbourne. And, like, I pop in there quite regularly. I'm actually flying to Melbourne tomorrow. So I reckon I land about 8:30. Oh, God, I've alerted the paparazzi. Yeah. I think I might pop in for a morning coffee or something.
I just don't think I'd flown Virgin recently for whatever reason. Yeah,
so just
I
just hadn't done all the flights. You just haven't just walked past it and seen it.
No. So a couple of things that really grabbed me when I got in there. Firstly, I mean, they talk about the ceiling on the Sistine Chapel, but have they seen the lights at the AFL kitchen and bar, which are like almost like those, remember those plastic footies you used to get?
Yeah.
From the servo for like $3. It's like those, but clear with light bulbs in them.
It's
unbelievable.
Actually, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's they have haunting. To shut the down. They have shut it down every now and then for restoration because they should
be. I
can
see why.
Yeah, I mean that stuff belongs in the museum, obviously.
And it would be dangerous for people when they go in there that they would, you know, potentially smash their shins because everyone is looking up and you almost, you know, run into a chair with Ben Cousins written on the back of it.
Yeah.
You know?
When I first went in there, I instinctively just took a hanger on one of the waiters and tried to grab down the light fitting.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And then, you know, you got your Sistine Chapel, you got your Michelangelo. How this isn't bigger than the Mona Lisa. Like, I know people go to the Louvre to check out Da Vinci's fucking greatest creation, but there is a memorabilia poster in there from the 2017 game in Shanghai. Now, how that... And I got right up close to it, Michael.
Now, was it behind glass? Like, could you just, like, snatch it off the wall? Or was it behind glass?
I reckon I could have. And that, again, is you just go, fucking hell. They are so trusting in there that people... I mean, it's probably the 50th one they've had in there because surely everyone... It has to be a replica. Like, there must be a vaulted AFL house that has the original.
It's actually a great plot line for Ocean's 14 to have the team come in and try and steal that picture.
Yeah, it just was sitting there. I got myself a couple of, and you know what I thought was quite reasonable? 2 pints of Carlton Draft, $25.
Really?
That, for an airport beer, I think is highly reasonable.
I feel they sting me about $18 for a glass of wine, I reckon.
Yeah, okay. Maybe they've got some sort of, maybe because CUB is a major sponsor, so maybe there's a bit of a deal going on.
I mean, I'm talking a large too, mate. I'm talking a large one. I'm not talking any of the small ones, eh?
So I didn't get myself a midfielder's margarita or a premiership pepperoni or anything like that. We just had the one beer and then scooted.
So what's the process of changing your tickets into another name? I know I've flown as another person one time.
Yeah, I've done that also.
I won't name who they are, but they just needed a flight Sydney to Melbourne and back to keep their status.
Oh, okay.
So I just took a bag. They said, don't check in, obviously, because, you know, you can't give your passport or whatever ID. But I got on the plane, and the only difference I found was that they said to me when they saw the ticket, they said, thank you, Mr. X, for returning or coming back again. Well, it's a pleasure to have you back.
Yes, okay.
That was the biggest difference.
Mr. Chamberlain's never had that. He's like, oh, fuck, you again. I thought you were banned from all airlines.
No, for sure. I'm flying Rex tomorrow too, so it's going to be fun.
Are you really?
I'm flying Rex, mate. I haven't flown Bonzi yet, but I'm sure it's in my future. Because I'm a cheapskate. So I just got to kind of find the cheap one.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm giving away all the details now. I'm going to get pat for sure. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah. They know when you're coming in. So we get up to Brisbane. And here's the deal. Because the Broncos are also playing in a preliminary final on Saturday night against the Warriors from New Zealand, there was fuck all accommodation in Brisbane. Now, come on, Brisbane. How the fuck do you run out of rooms? We had to go to Redcliffe, which is like 45 minutes north.
Oh, yeah, home of the Dolphins.
Yes. Yeah, so we're up there.
Why didn't you go and sit down comedy club and say, can I have the spare room in the condo there?
Well, because I was with another friend.
Ah, gotcha.
So I couldn't.
That was the third question. Who are we with?
Our friend Steph, friend of the show, who's helped us out. So, yeah, we stayed up in Redcliffe, went to the Redcliffe RSL on the Saturday night. We're at, the Redcliffe Tavern to watch the Giants-Collingwood game. So that was on the Friday night. On the Saturday, we head into Brisbane where there was a Carlton function at the... And you know when you just go, come on, Queensland, lift your fucking game. The name of the hotel, what do you reckon it would be? If you're a Queenslander, what do you name a hotel? It's not the Cane Toad Hotel.
No, but it's like the... rugby league player gets drunk and punches a kebab shop owner. Hotel.
It's a bit long. The Pineapple Hotel.
Oh, really? Perfect. Yeah. Love it. Beautiful Queensland. Yeah. Well done.
So there was a Carlton function at the Pineapple Hotel. Fev was there. Dylan Alcott was there. Matthew Lappin, who played for Carlton for quite some time. Yeah,
he was a coach for a bit there, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe he was. Yeah. And then we were at that function, strolled down to the Gabba. And I'd never been to the Gabba before.
Yeah.
And what a great place to watch the footy from.
Really? Now,
obviously, once again, it's your old pal Rosie. I was in the AFL function, which was great.
Okay, but, rewind. Okay. So what happened with this again? Like, is this the sit-down dinner thing or is it a bit more low-key?
It wasn't just standing canapes.
Yeah, boring. Boo. No brisket on wafers or?
No brisket. Probably the best party pies I think I've ever had in my life.
Okay. So...
Gourmet-esque.
Gil speech, that kind of stuff? Like, is he there or...?
Yep, Gil was there. Andrew Dillon was there. And I got to know Andrew Dillon because he was on the front bar on Thursday night. So, had a bit of a chat to him. Unbelievably, like, his old Zavs team won 6 flags in a row. That is incredible.
Yeah, I think I might have been playing there when they began that run, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Gil's speech, like, did you have to hear the same thing again or...?
I'd heard a little bit of it before, but it wasn't too bad. And it was obviously very quick and, you know, they were praising, you know, the huge turnouts that they'd had over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And then we went out and sat down.
Rewind. Entertainment. Yep. Entertainment.
No. Oh. No entertainment. No, it was very quick, very short.
Hell, just get cost cutting there. At the AFL. They go all out at the G, but kind of give Queensland the leftovers.
Well, the room wasn't that big. So when you compare it to the MCG, I didn't realise that Gabba was that small. It's very quaint. Looks like it needs a little pat on the head. Well done, Gabba. You've got your little seats in there and good on you.
Well, it's about to get a rebuild for the Olympics. So I think they're going to build it up to about 60,000. So we'll get a pretty good revamp. Yeah.
So the room wasn't that big, the function room.
One thing that struck me actually watching that game was how immaculate the ground looked. There was something about it. I was like, this actually looks absolutely perfect. Now, I know a lot of footy grounds look perfect, but this one struck me as like, it looked like carpet. It looked amazing.
Yeah, it did. And so our seats were on level 2 at the Gabba and we went out. And I haven't been that close to the action in so long. Like, you could hear the players and you're right on top of them. It was awesome. And so, you know, the first quarter, absolutely fucking flying. Carlton kicked the opening 5 goals. And seriously, I was just like, firstly, I thought, this is the most amazing night of my life.
Yep.
And then I thought, we will not be able to hang on.
You began to think about, I know my team.
Yes.
And I know what they can do.
Yeah.
So I was watching at a pub in Newtown with a few mates. And yes, the beginning was amazing. Now, am I right that you would think if there was a majority Carlton supporters there, do you think?
No, it just sounded really loud when we got our first 5 goals because the Brisbane fans weren't that up and about, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
But once Brisbane started to get on a roll, you're like, oh, okay, we do not outnumber them.
Yeah, sure. So when do you think you kind of gave up hope?
Pretty deep
going in half time. It was round about even, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we might have been 3 points down at half time. And you just kind of thought, we can't arrest this. I think we just started to look a bit cooked and you just kind of gave up a little bit. But, you know, I went back inside, got myself a few frothies, talked to a few people, was hanging out with Liesl Jones, Carlton number one ticket holder.
Okay.
Anthony Koutafidis was there, was actually hanging out, spent the rest of the game hanging out with Craig Lambert. Former
really?
Richmond and Brisbane player.
So Liesl Jones, so the runner?
No, the swimmer.
Oh, the swimmer, of course, yes, Liesl, yes. Okay,
yes.
She's
a number one ticket holder for Carlton.
Yeah, gotcha, okay, yeah. She, I think she's on radio in Queensland.
Yes, she does the Rush Hour on Triple M in Queensland.
Yeah, yeah. Bang, fucking hell. And they got Madam Butterfly in Breakfast on Nova, I think.
I believe that is true. Is that Susie O'Neill?
Yeah. We don't have any swimmers on commercial radio in Melbourne or Sydney. What is it?
Do they tend not to... Maybe swimmers only come from warmer states because when you're in the pool at 4 a.m, you're like, fucking hell, it's freezing.
I think you might be right. I actually have... You kind of have a hankering that like a lot of swimmers do come from Queensland. It's that ocean lifestyle, man.
Yeah, I think you could be right.
Yeah, jeez. No, you heard it first here on Chug Time.
So anyway, we went back in and then basically in the third and fourth quarters, it was just a bit like, we're not going to do this. And,
yeah, sure.
You know, but... I think it's great that the first and second teams made it through to the grand final. I think that feels right and it should be a cracker.
And do you get the impression too that the Bears are more likely to win over Collingwood than the Blues would likely win over Collingwood?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think they're more just a better side. They moved it a lot better. And I think having the breaks like Collingwood have had, I think is going to serve them well because they're just a lot fresher than we were.
Yeah, but, sure.
We lost the prelim. I never thought we'd get there. It was an amazing experience. I was really happy that the year turned out the way it did, especially if you had to come to me, you know, 2.5 months ago when I was pretty despondent and giving up on another season. I was really happy. It was great end.
Dude, they were talking about sacking the coach during the year.
Yes, that is true.
Get to a prelim in the end. Yeah, no, it was a great thing. And kind of great for Vossi too by the fact that, you know, he makes a prelim. That gives him another, you know, 2-3 years of a contract, you know. They have a bit of faith in him, even if you kind of don't make the 8, you know, in the next 2 years. Like, it's not like he's going to be, you know, 2-3 years and done. You know what I mean?
But do you not think the expectation now is that, okay, we've made a prelim, so... Yeah, well, it's sort of like if you don't make top four next year... Well, not that his position's in jeopardy, but it's Carlton. Let's not forget that. If they miss the 8 next year, is he in trouble?
Yeah, well, no, I don't think next year, no. I think you got to give him at least, you know, a couple more years after making a prelim.
Yeah.
But then also on top of that, like, it is Carlton. Therefore, you know, heads do roll pretty quickly. But I've loaded up on the Blues for the flag next year.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, really jump that market. Support. So yeah. Might be double dipping from my own little profits here.
So, yeah, it was an amazing weekend. The flight home yesterday was just a bit shit because you're like, I just want to fucking be home. But it was great to be up there and, yeah, really enjoyed it.
But what was your Saturday night like? Did you hit the town or go down to Fortitude Valley, go and get arrested like Fev?
No, we went to a pub right next door at the Gabba. I don't know the name of that particular pub. And it was just fucking packed. So we're just like, we've got to get out of here. It's 45 minutes back to Redcliffe. So we got out of there and got some Uber Eats.
Really? So accommodation was that bad? It had to be a 40-minute trip?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, wow. Huh.
So I think quite a few people stayed on the Goldie as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Gee, this is wild. I didn't know Brisbane had no hotels.
Yeah, I know. They need to fucking lift. If they're going to have the Olympics there, you can't have people staying in fucking Longreach and Mount Isa and flying in. Lift, Brisbane. Lift.
And so you had a great weekend, Adam.
I did.
Next week is going to be a stellar weekend with the grand final on the Saturday with the Collingwood Magpies versus the Brisbane Lions. But we all know the biggest day of the year is the Sunday after the grand final when we do our Two Guys, One Cup Junk Time live show.
Yeah, so 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon. It's going to be great. I think it's going to be really fun. We're still talking about, of course, there will be a guest from the winning sides that will come and join us live down there. Tickets available at Trybooking, 4 p.m. at Morris House. And I'm really looking forward to it because I think it's going to be a great game. So it's going to be a fun afternoon.
And it will fill out. So get your tickets. Like, we are close to selling out. So, and we're not just saying that. It's because, you know, because we're, you know, we know how advertising works when it comes to the shows. But it will be a great game. And like you said, it's good that one and two got in. And I can't really pick it at the minute.
Yeah. Also, just really on the live show, you might want to get there early because Kiss are performing a 45-minute set.
Yes. Sorry, we didn't mention that bit. Yeah. Sorry, yes. Yeah. Yes. And then also Mark Seymour is going to be coming down as well.
Yeah.
And a little guy called Mike Brady.
Mike Brady.
Playing one of the new album. I can't actually quite pick it at the minute by the fact that, I mean, you know, the Pies snuck through both their games. Jeez, I could have gone either way. And now we've got the Bears who, you know, both games look pretty sharp. Apart from like that first quarter.
Yes.
When they had the blue tsunami. But I actually genuinely can't pick it at the minute. The only question mark I suppose I have is the Bears playing at the G, but you kind of feel like they've had so many heartbreak moments at the G that you kind of go, yeah, eventually they're going to have one.
They won there last year, so they've shown they can do it. So I think it's possible. You just think, so I reckon it comes down to Collingwood's defence is so good. So can Brisbane kick a big enough score? And yep. That's what it was like the other night, is even when GWS were on top, they couldn't get away from them. And yeah. So Collingwood are always in it.
Yeah.
So you just wonder whether or not they can get away from them. But I think Dan McStay being out is enormous.
And then it also has to do with how many free kicks are the umpires not going to pay to the Bears in that final quarter when yes. people are literally getting guillotined on the field.
I mean, so I was at a pub in Redcliffe, so we couldn't hear the crowd that well. They had the commentary sort of in the background. But I imagine out of, what was there, like 97,000?
Yeah.
Would it have been 94, 95,000 Collingwood supporters?
Oh, I reckon.
Like that would have been, as an umpire, you would have just been like, I can't pay that.
Yeah, I've got a family.
Yeah.
I've got to get to my car.
Yeah.
No, I remember, I actually would have liked to go on. I remember going to the, I might have said this last week, went to the 2017 Giants Richmond prelim, yep. which had a similar number of people, by the fact I was like, it's going to be like a college match,
yeah.
like a college football game, and I've never been to one of them. And yeah, it literally was. It was like, you know, 95,000 people barracking for one team.
Yeah, and the good thing was that, you know, Ticket Tech really came to the party
yep.
with the Collingwood supporters. You know, you pay $1,000 for your membership,
yep.
and then you get a standing room ticket for the granny. So that's not bad.
Can they just... A Ticket Tech, like a startup or something, like are they ever going to get it right there where their website yeah. does? Like, do they know that they're a web-based company and that their website
so.
Shits itself anytime more than three people try to get on it at the same time?
I think the most interesting thing is that, you know how they say, you know, you're in the queue.
Yeah.
So say the tickets are on sale from 9 till midday. If I get on at 9 and you get on at 11:55, we have... both have the exact same chance. So it's not a fucking queue
yeah.
at all. It's just yeah. a fucking free-for-all.
Yeah,
don't
sure.
Don't call it a queue, you fucking dogs.
I got lucky. I got actually a friend of mine. I bought her a visitor's ticket for the members. She's a Pies fan. She came down from Sydney for it. And she sent me a picture of her kind of lining up at about, I don't know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And she had a ticket, so she'll get in. But she showed me a picture of the crowd, and it was like all the way up to Jolimont Station. Like, it was massive.
Oh,
and
wow.
then... doors open, and then she took about 15, 20 minutes to kind of get into the ground. But I had a very fucking nervous wait, kind of going, have I fucked this up in somehow? And, you know, bought the wrong ticket or something.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Yeah. And I had to,
so on Saturday, when you say that, you know, you just walk into the grand final with your MCC membership, and I'm not taking the piss here,
yeah.
is there a chance that you could miss out, or do you just have to get there earlier?
I think I might get there a bit earlier. Like, I usually find I'm a bit sketchy over the last few years by the fact that because there's a ballot as well for reserve seats. So I
right.
think they have about 10 or 12,000 reserve seats. So you go into that ballot, and that means you can show up whenever. But
yep.
I put that in with my dad and brother this week, and we didn't get it. So that means... we're going to go and find our own seat. So
yeah,
okay. I don't care about standing anywhere. So I usually probably go and watch the radio coverage and the like around about noonish.
Yep,
but
okay.
being Collingwood, I might be a bit hairy this year and might just get there a bit earlier just to kind of guarantee I'm in there.
And so once you're in there, do you put the scarf on the seat and go back out? Is it that kind of thing?
No,
or
no.
Or you stand
so, no, well, there are two ways. So for 08, I got there about 4 a.m. because my brother wanted a seat. And
yep.
We go in there at 9.
4 a.m.?
Yeah, yeah. It was like Gallipoli, mate. The sunrise coming up and this cliff in front of
yep.
us.
Yep.
And so I hadn't done that for years and years and years. But and then so you got a seat, and then
yeah.
a bloke or lady will come down the aisle and just hand you your seat ticket.
Uh-huh.
So
I'm
M25. And then I went home and then came back at about noon. Yeah, so... so that's my guaranteed seat, but then there's essentially probably 20,000 seats that are free for all. So, you know, first in, first best dressed, whatever.
Fucking hell, yeah. People stomping on your RM Williams, ripping collars off.
Well, I mean,
or is
imagine,
it all very orderly?
Well, you know, my mate who lines up on the Thursday, like
yeah.
if it was Carlton Collingwood, he'd have to line up on the Tuesday because he wants it is literally the best seat in the house. Like
yeah.
he gets like on second level on the wing. But yeah, you'd have to get there on
Tuesday.
What
does he do with his tent and all his stuff? Does he give it to someone as he's heading in?
He just brings a chair, a little camp chair. But then
he sleeps on that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, literally you get your seat, like, 9 minutes, 5 minutes past nine, and then you just take your chair back out and you go home. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll find out. Mm. But what are your plans for next week? You usually have a bit of a shindig, don't you?
Yeah, I'll just have mates around to my house. I can never be bothered going to the grand final.
How did you become the designated mates grand final party guy?
Because I don't have children.
Ah, good point.
And
nice.
My mates are so keen to get out of their houses.
A little bit of disappointing news, Adam, from this week. Mm. And we all know that Gil McLachlan is going to be heading off as of Sunday morning, I suppose.
Well, we believe that's the case. I'll believe it when he's not there.
But obviously he's been a great ambassador for the game, brought in the expansion clubs. He's drawn the crown, the AFL Kitchen Bar, which
absolutely.
Did bring up with him in an interview one day, and he very quickly changed the topic. But he's having a farewell party this week at a swanky joint in Chapel Street in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I've been checking my mailbox. You've been checking your mailbox? I haven't seemed to get an Always. Invite to this, which I find a little bit disappointing. A little bit disappointing.
It'd be pretty. I reckon that'd be a fun night. Like, I reckon Gil, on the way out, would know how to party.
I reckon. And it's got a good sense of humour. And I reckon it would get a bit loose, too.
Like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. And I think there'd probably be a few speeches. And there'd be a bit of a roast kind of atmosphere to it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be the case. And I think it would just be... I'd make sure that you got people who didn't like each other, like, really close. Because I doubt it's a sit-down thing. So how do you orchestrate, you know, a Damien Barrett? You make sure you invite Luke Beveridge along.
Absolutely.
Like, do you deliberately do that? Yeah.
I saw a thing. It was on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday. It was Tony Jones talking to Carolyn Wilson. And she said it was going to be a canapé kind of thing. So more like a Gabba prelim final AFL function atmosphere. But she's like, going along. They said Hutchie's going along. Damien Barrett is going along. I imagine you would invite all of the coaches, wouldn't you? I feel like you would have to do that.
That is an excellent coach-related
like
question
royal,
without notice.
A royal wedding where you're kind of obligated to invite the heads of state of every kind of Commonwealth country.
Yeah, I guess so. But do you invite Adam Uzza? Has he earned it yet?
That's a good question. Dimmer. Do you get Dimmer in there? Like, he hasn't actually coached the team yet.
I mean, you get Dimmer in there because he's coaching your team. So you may as well have him in there, tell him, you know, he's got to earn his money.
They said that Jared Waitley and Robbo are invited, but they have their show that day. Therefore, they said they can't attend. But almost at the same time, I'm like, they finish at 8:30. Like,
yeah, the show doesn't go for fucking 6 hours.
And let's face it, Robbo clocks off at about 8:03.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, seg one, Robbo's there. And I also thought, on the Thursday night, that they don't generally do the show. Usually it's been of late, like Kath Lochnan and
you are
like
right.
Dermy
you are right. I reckon they might be hanging around. They might actually. I wouldn't be surprised if they do a Thursday and a Friday this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because they've probably got a live site set out the front of the G, I reckon, as they usually have, if I remember correctly.
And are you heading to the grand final parade on Friday?
I actually probably will, because my mate who's lining up, I usually go and keep him company on the Friday. So we have a wander around, and the parade actually looked up the road. It ends at the MCG again this year. So yep. I figure I actually will be watching the parade. So I will see bits of it. I hear that fucking Collingwood chant.
Oh,
Collingwood.
And what about the Brownlow tonight? Will you be watching that?
I will be watching that. I'll probably tune in more later in the evening as opposed to the beginning. But it's going to be an interesting one. It actually would be a really cool story if Nick Davis wins it. It's going to be fucking amazing.
That'd be a massive story.
But for a second-year player, that'd be incredible. He'd have to be surely the first second-year player to win the Brownlow. Surely.
No, I think there was like someone back in the 1930s who did it.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Someone who was a bit older, played maybe in WA or Sanford or something?
No, Brad Hardy did that in his first year in the VFL. He won it in, when was it, 85, 86?
Gotcha.
That was his first year in the VFL, but had played there before. But in the 1930s, I think it was some, I can't even remember, but someone in their second season. But
yeah, sure.
The thing is, like, I got on Dacos when he got injured. His odds drifted right out. And it was just like... Yeah, I don't know. He's like, he was doing pretty well. Like, he was going to be massively in front. So I am banking on the fact that he's going to hang on.
I think most kind of Brownlow predictors have him at around 30, 33 votes.
Yeah.
So you think if he's sitting around that at about round 18, then you kind of go, oh, sheesh. Like, he's good on him. Like, you know, good luck to him. I think he'd be great. And, you know, carry on the name of Dacos. And he gets into the halls of history, Adam.
He does. He does. I won't watch the Brownlow tonight. You know what? I never see the end of the Brownlow because it's so fucking dull. I just go, I'll find out tomorrow morning and that's fine.
It's the final one for Gil, though. Like, he's...
He's not going to, like, tell everyone to fuck off or anything like that.
He has sped it up a lot, though. Like, when you hear him do the early rounds, until it gets, like, you know, round 18, where he's like...
Yes, yes.
Bontempelli. Like, you know, he rips through.
Should they just start at round 15? Just come into the room... You know, we have the red carpet. They've already done the count. The players sit down. We're up to 15. Bang, you've got an hour of really good telly. And then we're away. It's done by 9:30. Party time. And you got to feel for the fucking players who have to go from Collingwood and Brisbane and sit there and be on the waters all night. What a shit night.
I feel like we are not too far from the era of where TV dominates everything that we do come in at round 15. And we do an hour and a half.
I like it.
And they get 1.5 million viewers. Because, you know, it's all kind of, you know, the pain of it, the ratings and like, is that it goes for 3.5 hours, therefore.
And they get the players to renovate a house during the show.
Yep, sure. And then also they have someone wear a mask and they sing a song and you got to work out who that singer is and it's a player at the end of it.
It's a past Brownlow player.
Yeah. Fucking hell, we worked that out already.
God.
And then also...
Gil's going to be when he's leaving.
A few of the players cook the meals. They cook the meals.
And they love it.
They give it to the counting panel on the table, Gil and... I suppose Andrew Dillon and a few other people, football operations managers, whatever, and they have to kind of give it a score. And you know, Gil goes, "That was disgusting." And he smashes the plate on the ground. And he goes,
"I love
disgustingly good." I've worked it out.
Come on.
I actually don't know if we have any footballers in real life. Let me have a quick look.
I don't believe we do this week.
We do not. Maybe they've all been undercover. I'll actually tell you what, they've gone overseas.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And also, I had a bunch of sightings at the Carlton function, so I covered it.
Fair enough. Hey, don't forget our live show, October 1, day after the grand final, with Will Anderson and Charlie Clawson from Two Guys, One Cup. We're going to have special guests from both teams, and we're going to talk about, we're going to go minute by minute through the grand final. And if you had made the grand final and lost, those minutes would have been so fucking long, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would. Tickets available at trybooking.com. We'll see you on Sunday.
We're going to hit the road. We are JohnTomoverPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go Hawks.
Go Baggers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.